Welcome to the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey, we're here with the 33rd episode of the Golf Podcast. So last week we talked about understanding your club distances. There's a lot of great pointers that we hit on, some stuff that you may not have thought about. The idea of one big one we talked about was not honing in your distances on the range. And we had a couple reasons we talked about for that. So if you missed that for any reason, make sure you go back and listen to it. You can go to that by going to golficity.com/episode32. This week, we're going to address some chipping tips, five specific tips that we've researched that we can find as far as real great ways to improve your game and quickly. And we're going to talk about some excellent stats and some very easy math that'll prove to you why improving your chipping is so important and why it's one of the easiest and fastest ways to shave some strokes off your game. And then if you stick around later in the podcast, we're going to talk about a couple of great Father's Day gift suggestions. So even if it's something that you're just thinking about getting for yourself or maybe dropping some hints on something that you want, Father's Day is going to be coming up in a couple weeks. And unless you want to end up with the usual the tie that you'll probably never wear, maybe you want to forward that article on to a couple key people, or if you're looking, your father plays golf or somebody, it's a great list, and we're going to just run through a couple of those. Also, as always, I'll provide links to everything that we talked about here by going to golficity.com/episode33. As I said, anything, if you miss anything, don't worry about it. All the links will be there, everything that we talked about. So, Mike, how's everything with you?
Everything's good. I played in an outing yesterday, which was pretty exciting. Testing out a whole bunch of new drivers. So you're talking about Father's Day gifts. I'm actually trying to drop hints about the Nike Covert 2.0 driver, because I took out the TaylorMade SLDR yesterday from someone in my group. I had the Callaway. I think it was a Callaway X Hot. So I've been playing a lot of different drivers, trying to get find the best one for my game, and I've narrowed it down to that Nike because I'm hitting that one great. So. Other than that, the game has been on. I've been playing a lot of golf. I mean, we're going to get rained out a couple of days today and tomorrow, so we're going to take a couple of days off. But other than that, just stay practicing. That's what I'm doing.
That's excellent. I love that program where they let you test those drivers.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. You take it out for 3 days. You get it for 3 days. You take it out. You play with it. If you don't like it, you could just return it. You can grab another one for 3 days. They just give you the demo club, which has been hit by a bunch of people in the store, which is no big deal. You get to adjust it to your loft, and you can kind of just, you can actually hit it in the store first, on the screen, and you could see which settings are appropriate, and then you take it out on the course.
That's excellent. So you like the Nike so far, you're saying?
The Nike's been consistent. I've been playing a great draw with it, and I set it to that 9.5 loft coming off of my old driver, which was a 10.5. So I got that low bullet drive that just comes in right to left down the fairway. So, I think that's the one I'm going to go for. It's a little, it's a $300 club, but, I might actually back off that and go for the first edition. The guy at the store says, don't buy the 2.0. If you like this club, get the first one. And I thought that was pretty cool. So I might just stick with that one.
Yeah, I play one that's a couple generations old. It's a Nike, the VRS, and to be honest with you, I picked that up because I was in between drivers as well, and just trying to have something, until I got that in order. And I got that on. We've talked about this before in one of the episodes about how to save money on golf equipment. Divot.com, which is an excellent site. You got to watch it a lot because it's only one day deals and it changes every day, but you hit it just right. If you're somebody who's just looking for a driver, now it's not like, the luxury as Mike's talking about of testing different drivers, but I grabbed that online, beautiful brand new Nike driver for $99. So
can't beat that.
So many options. Yeah. There's so many options. And I love that idea, grab something like that until, you learn what you like. Try a couple things and then invest the money. And then you don't feel so bad dropping $300 because you've made an actual, intelligent decision about it, right?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because if I went out there and paid $399 for the SLDR and I hit that like garbage the other day, I just, no consistency at all. There's all these different dial settings on it for fade and law and, draw and different lofts. And, it just wasn't working out for me. But you know, I mean, I'm going to go with the one that fits my game the best and buy the older model. You know, it's only 1 year older and, you know, continue to use it till it's time to move on.
Yeah, that's well put. We talked about this before. Don't just go and buy something because you hear that it's, you know, you can't turn on the Golf Channel without hearing how the SLDR is the, you know, the number one rated club and everything like that. That's great. And I'm sure that works for thousands and thousands of golfers, but there's only one golfer that matters and that's you, you know? So at the end of the day, you got to try them out. Everyone's game's going to be a little bit different and work with what fits you. And don't just try to make your game fit a club because you want the flashy new model, you know, do the smart move and you'll end up saving money and just pick out whatever works for you. And we've got a lot of reviews of a couple different drivers on the site and we're going to review more, but that's a great place to start. But after that, like Mike said, go out and hit them, try them and see what you like.
You know, Frank, I got to switch gears before you jump into the meat of tonight's show. I got to brag a little bit because as you know, I am a diehard fantasy golf guy. You know it. I live and breathe it. You know, I'm kind of the brains behind the picks behind on golficity.com. And so far this year, we've been lights out on the site. You know, it's funny because in my league, you know the league I play in, I am now in fifth place out of 2,447 people. Okay. Now, first prize is awesome. It's like a $2,000 golf getaway to anywhere you want to go. So I just have to hang on and come in first. I'm actually in second in the quarterly standings. If I come in first, I get like a $500 gift card or something like that. So, but speaking of that, I just discovered this draftstreet.com. It's starting to catch a buzz in the industry, and a lot of people are playing it for baseball, football, and even golf now. And last week, I gave it a shot. I know we have a review on the site about the actual website and how it works, but this thing is so cool, Frank. I actually jumped on there. I deposited $25. You know, I just said, let me just test it out. And, you know, you go in there and you pick a couple of players and you kind of, that's your team for the week. And I won. I won the first week and I won, you know, $10. And, you know, for $25, I won 10. Now I have 35 in the account. And now I'm playing it this week for the HP Byron Nelson Classic. So, you know, it's so cool and it just keeps you involved in it a little bit more. And I'm loving it because I, you know, it's people out there, they love the fantasy football every weekend, the fantasy baseball every day. This thing is so cool. If you're a PGA Tour fan or even if you're a football, baseball, whatever it is, you got to check out this site.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's tempting that maybe we should stop publishing the picks.
Yeah,
start seriously. Keeping them tight to the chest because you're winning over there. But yeah, it is really cool. I love the fact that they have those one day leagues. You're not like involved for the whole season. If you want to just try it out, you know, just go in, play one tournament, you put down $2, you know, you have a chance at winning like 500. And when I first checked it out, we were doing the review for the site. I was worried, like, you know, is it, you know, all you see that stuff about online gambling, is this gambling? But it's not, because it's not, you know, it's not a game of chance. It's a game of skill. You know, it's a contest. So it's completely legit. It's completely legal. They've got games in US and Canada and it's fun. You know, look, $2, you put it down on some of these tournaments in between the majors that maybe are, you know, they're fun to watch, but you want to make them a little bit more fun. You'll put your money where your mouth is. And I know the other thing too is for anybody who hasn't tried it yet, make sure you use the coupon code FANTASYGOLF. We actually talked to the guys over at Draft Street because I know so many of our premium members are playing over there. So just because, you know, we've been kind of talking about them a little bit and stuff like that, they decided to throw us a bone. And what they did is we have that coupon code FANTASYGOLF. If you use that, they do like a little bit of extra when you sign up. They'll do some matches. So if you put down like $10, I think they'll match it and do $20. It's something like that. It varies, but there's definitely a little bit of an added bonus if you use the promo code. So definitely check that out. So Mike, good luck with that next week.
Yeah, but, thanks.
We'll have to check back and see how you did.
Yeah.
But let's jump right into it. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, chipping, a couple quick chipping tips. Now I know, and I'm going to post a link to the article and we talk about this extensively in the article. Chipping is not exactly the most exciting part of the game. Everybody loves to, you know, work on the drive and, you know, the hitting that ball down the fairway or just sticking a green feels great. But at the end of the day, chipping is one of the best ways to quickly shave strokes off your game. You know, let me give you a little bit of an example and what I mean by that. Chances are, if you're you know, a mid to high handicap golfer, you're missing quite a few greens. You know, you're not hitting the greens in regulation. And what that means is each time you've got a missed green, let's say you miss a little right, a little bit left, something like that, you've got right there a chipping opportunity. You know, a less capable player might miss anywhere from 13 to 14 greens during the round. So now imagine, let's just do some easy math. Imagine that you miss 10 greens during an average round of golf. If you're a poor chipper, you may get, you know, out of those 10 chances, you may get up and down two times. But if you improve your chipping, you know, and this is something that's, it's well within reach. If you can improve your chipping, you can maybe get up and down six times, you know, out of those 10 times, if not more. So that what that means is by improving your chipping, you could easily shave four strokes off your round. You know, so no matter how long you stand on the practice tee hitting drivers, you'll never shave four strokes off as quickly as if you can just improve your chipping. So in other words, what we're talking about is just lessening the number, you know, the distance of that first putt. And I talked about this a little bit in the last episode, how I started tracking my stats and I had, I think, four or five up and downs in one round. I've been tracking my first putt distance in feet, and I've been working on just trying to shorten that up. And this is where, this is like the really, the brass tack, so to speak, or where the rubber meets the road of when everyone says short game is where you, you know, win or lose this game. It's where you really make the improvements. And this is the perfect point of that. Take, for instance, a really bad chip and you leave a 20-footer versus a good chip and you leave a 5-footer. Think about the percentages of making a 20-foot putt versus a 5-foot putt. It's dramatic. So what we're saying is if you go out there and focus on these areas and you just spend a little bit of time, maybe spend like a month just concentrating on your chipping, I can guarantee you're going to see lower scores because you're going to have shorter putts and you're going to be saving a lot more pars. You're going to be scrambling a lot better than you were if you couldn't rely on your chipping. So there's a lot of things there that are good, but let's talk about some five quick key tips and areas where you can really improve. The first one is making sure to use your hands. You know, we talked about this in the article. We see very often where some really bad advice kind of gets passed around where they say you should chip like a putting motion. So in other words, never breaking your wrists. Like, because obviously in a putting, you shouldn't break your wrist. You want that pendulum and you want to keep everything steady. But the problem with that is if you don't, you know, engage your hands, letting them work for you, you'll never chip effectively. The putting stroke, as I said, has no hand movement. There's no hinge in the wrist. But hinging is critical to a good chip shot because it allows you to get the club up above the grass and hit down in a descending strike. So really what it should feel like is, you know, very simple for right-handed golfers. You feel like you're using the right wrist to hinge the club up in your backswing and then release it down towards the ball. You'll find that with that powerful little motion, only a very small movement is needed to pop the ball up and out of the grass. You know, now if you were to do the opposite and using that putting stroke, you're going to be dragging that club head through the grass. And often when you're off the green, there's a lot of rough involved. You're going to be dragging through a lot of that and you add a lot of unpredictability into it. So it's important to be able to do that hinge wrist. And a great visual for that, again, this is one of those things that's a little bit tough to explain, you know, verbally, but a great visual of that is a video that we posted on the article itself. So again, I'll link to that, golfizzy.com/episode33. You'll be able to see it. But this second tip, Mike, I think this is my favorite of all the tips, especially for beginners, because people can tend to get a little bit too ambitious and they're out there trying to chip with their 7-iron, their 8-iron, 9-iron, pitching wedge and going through them all. You know, if you're a professional golfer and you're spending hours and hours a day working on your game, then fine. You know, spend a little bit of time on each one. But most of us obviously are not. So a much better way to quickly improve is just to focus on one club and get really good at it. Mike, do you chip with a lot of different, or how do you do it?
Yeah, you nailed it here, because chipping is the best part of my game right now. I am so confident, you know, when I'm around the green, 20, 30, 40 yards off the green, you know, or closer than that. And back before I really improved, I carry a 60, a 56, and a 52 in my bag. And I would always judge it based on, you know, should I take the 60 here or should I take the 56? So I took a lot of the thought process out of my chipping game by just sticking with the 56. Now, every time I'm in that area, I just use that one club and I just adjust the speed of my swing, you know, and by doing that, everything's been lights out.
Because it's so much more predictable, right? You know the distance it's going to carry. You know, you're just changing, you said you're maybe taking it back a little bit further for getting more out of it, but it's not like you're trying to introduce so much loft difference. You know, the difference between a 7-iron and a 52-degree wedge is dramatic in loft. Mm-hmm. So they're going to react differently. So this is one of those things that if you're a beginner, get out there, get very – the other thing too is a comfort level. The more comfortable you are with a club, the more confidence you're going to have to really go after the shot you want to have. So if you can say, I am so comfortable with chipping this club because you constantly use that one, as Mike said, you know your distances, you know all that type of stuff, you're going to be more confident in your chipping stroke. I'm like you. I use my 52-degree wedge. I love chipping with that club. I think it's great. And the article suggests, especially for beginners, maybe a sand wedge or something like that is great for chipping. Now, there are going to be people who say for chipping, it's better to go with something like a 7-iron because like we talked about in previous episodes, you want to kind of eliminate that air time and then more get the ball rolling on the green. Again, personal preference. I personally like to really know how to chip with a higher lofted club just in case I get in those situations where I'm in that heavy rough off the green. I want something that's going to lift the ball up and out and then get to the green and start rolling. And I know also just by kind of changing the angle of attack, I can kind of de-loft that club, but that's getting into a little bit of extra stuff. But here, if there's one takeaway that you get from this whole article, I'd say this is the biggest one. Get out there and become a perfectionist with one club. After that, if you want to introduce some other ones, go ahead. But don't confuse yourself by going from club to club. Another great tip is this idea of just get on the green at all costs. Okay. Sometimes people, and I've seen this a lot and I'm guilty of it myself, you try to get a little too ambitious. Let's say maybe the pin is tucked up a little bit tight, you know, in the back or something like that, and you're going after that pin. And you chip it a little bit long, you carry a little bit long, and it keeps rolling, rolls past the pin, you know, off the fringe, and it's back in the rough or something like that. Well, now you're setting yourself up for yet another chip shot. And at the end of the day, putting, you know, you're always going to be more successful being able to putt with, you know, given surface, being on the green than chipping. So if there's one thing you really want to avoid, it's having to set yourself up for a second chip shot. So one, you know, when you're going up there to chip the ball, your main goal should be getting on the green in an area where I'm putting myself in position to be putting on the next shot. And what I mean by that is be smart, play course management. If a pin is hard to, you know, really attack, maybe you just want to putt it within, you know, 5 feet short or something where you want to line up your putt. That even if it's a longer putt, trust me, it's going to be better than having to chip the ball twice. And this leads perfectly segues into our fourth tip, which is before you chip, decide where you want to putt from. You know, a lot of guys attack it with that single mindset of just saying, I just want to get as close to the pin as possible. Well, okay, there's more things that go into it than that. Uphill putts, you know, being much easier than a downhill putt. There may be just different undulations that are in there. You want to take a look at that whole overlay of the green. And sometimes it may be better to say, okay, I'm going to leave a little bit off of it, try to stay below the cup because I know I can one putt from there. There's my up and down versus getting super aggressive, going for the pin, rolling a couple feet past it. And now you've got a challenging putt back downhill. You know, you want something that's going to leave you with a very confident, easy putt. And we have another video on this particular article that talks exactly about that and the benefit of that. And this is something that the pros are doing. When they're out there, trust me, they're looking at that whole green. Sometimes you'll see them walk across the green to the other side. And there are a lot of ways they're lining up that chip just like you would line up a putt. They're looking at where their second shot is going to be and things like that. And I know I've been trying to incorporate this in my game, but it's something that, especially if you're, you know, a beginner and you're used to always going after and attacking the pin, you may not, it's a mental shift that takes some time to get used to. I know that's what I've been working with, Mike. I'm sure you've made the same type of mistakes trying to like go after it and then ended up with a putt that's more difficult, right?
Right. I mean, this new thing that I'm trying, is, you know, when I'm lining up my shot, if I've got a 42-yard shot to the pin, I'll look down at my watch and see that number, and I'll immediately shave off 5 to 7 yards and say, all right, just lay it up there 35, 36 yards, because I know the ball's going to roll, and that's where I want to leave it. I actually have started walking up to the green, looking at the slopes of the green. I mean, some of the people in your group may be like, okay, this guy's taking forever every single time. This isn't the PGA Tour. Just hit the ball. But you know what? It's really important, because I've actually shaved 3 to 4 putts around you know, off the card, which 3 to 4 strokes. And it's been a big difference in my game, knowing where I want to leave that ball and where I should be putting from.
Yeah. These are the real mental areas of the game where the game is won or lost. These are what really separates the weekend hackers away from the guys who are taking the game seriously, who are improving, who are getting better, is these little things. And this is, to be honest with you, this is where I find a lot of enjoyment in the game, is just spending that time thinking about it and creating new situations. And it's almost like a game of chess out there, you know, thinking about not only this stroke, but the next stroke. Or another way to compare it is like a game of like billiards or something like that, where you're saying, I'm setting up the cue ball for my next shot. Same thing with chipping. I mean, don't think of it as the be all end all. I'm just trying to hole out and that's it. You know, think about what that risk versus return is of really going after it and trying to hole out. Well, what happens if you go past it? Are you going to leave yourself a really difficult downhill sloping putt that you're probably going to end up two putting? Would it be better to, as Mike said, shave a little bit off of it, leave it maybe 3 feet short, and then you're doing an easy uphill 3 foot putt? A lot of different things that you can do with that. And the last tip that we have is, this is, we talked about before, when you have the long rough, and a lot of times we'll see this, especially in the, you know, late summer, early fall, when that rough is really not only grown in, but it's getting a little heavy and it's getting a little bit wet. And you could find sometimes some really thick rough just, you know, 5-10 yards off the green that you could be in. And one way to think of this, a great way to think about playing a long rough, is playing it a lot like a bunker shot. Okay, because a really heavy, thick rough is going to react in a lot of ways the way the sand would, in the way it's going to grab your club. So one thing that you want to do is being able to understand small little adjustments that you can make, like opening up your club face, because keeping that club face square will often get a lot really tangled in that grass, and that's where it can be really hard to control, and it can grab the club in a way that kind of ends up with an errant shot. So something as easy as just playing a flop shot. And this is another thing to really practice. I mean, if you don't have that as one of your things, like as far as your go-to shots, and we talked about this last week, we talked about stock shots, shots that you can go to, and understanding and knowing how to play the flop shot. It could be a challenging shot, but it's also because we don't practice it enough. You know, get out there around the practice green and just hit maybe 30, 40 flop shots until you get really comfortable with it. But being able to get that ball up in the air, you know, quickly, and then being able to land it soft is something that's really gonna help shave strokes if you can get that down. Because when you're looking at that heavy rough, you know, we talked about the importance of getting on the green at all costs. Well, how many times did it happen if you don't get it popped up and out of that rough quick enough? It grabs the club and then you end up short, and you're just, you know, still, you go from 10 yards out to 5 yards out and you're still in the same rough and you got to play the same shot. So it's not an easy shot, but with a little practice, you can really get consistent and good at this. And we had another video on the site that has a great demonstration of how to play the flop chip shot. And what I really liked about that particular video, Mike, and I watched it a couple times, is very easily they show, and the misconception of when you open that club face, you feel like the face is veering off to the right, so the ball is going to do that. But they, by just kind of sticking something on the club, they can kind of show you that even though you're opening it, just the way your open stance is attacking the ball, you're actually still making contact with a square face, you know. So that's something that, it's a great misconception to get out of your mind, because I know I do this too. I always think, this is going to come off to the right because I have an open club face. But I encourage you to watch that video. Mike, did you get a chance to check that out?
I did not, but you know, I've watched it on Golf Channel all the time, and different instructional videos where, you know, guys in the bunker, they're always saying, especially the pros, you know, if you're a righty golfer and you got to open up that stance and kind of have that pin on your right side now this way. So when you come through the ball, it's still level. And, you know, you're going to the right, but you're hitting it straight, just like you said. I mean, and it works. It definitely works.
Yeah. So it's a great thing to have, you know, in your bag, so to speak, that you can pull out and use when you're in that heavy rough. And again, as I started mentioning, these are not always the flashiest things to be practicing, but I'm telling you what, when you start nailing those up and downs, you know, it's something that you feel great about it. You're scrambling. You feel like in the past, maybe you're saying, I'm off the green in two here on a par four. There's no way I'm going to make par. You're already thinking bogey because you're thinking chip and two putt. But look, if you can get those chips down like we're talking about, it's not inconceivable to have those rounds where you have four or five up and downs in a round. It can definitely happen. So I encourage you to check that out. Try it. Practice it. Let us know how it goes. You know, leave us a comment on the article, leave us a comment on the podcast episode, or tweet us. Let us know. We want to hear how's that working out for you. All right. So let's switch gears here and talk about a little something fun. I know Father's Day is coming up. It's personally my first Father's Day. I know. Yeah. So, going to be exciting for me. So that we put this little list together, a couple of our favorite things. And again, I'll link to this. What I really like is that the list is broken down because, as you always know, there's always those different levels of gifts and how much you're going to spend and things like that. And every year, you always, if you have siblings, maybe you have those everybody goes in gifts, so to speak, you know. So we put a couple that were more expensive that you can chip in and get together. And there's one in particular. I'm not going to go through every one because, you know, that'll get a little bit boring. There's quite a few on here. That's more for you to check out, you know, via the link. But a couple of the spotlight, we talked about the three up balls that we talk about all the time. One, and we tried to find something unique with each thing. It's not only that you're just buying golf balls. What I loved about the three up balls is that packaging. We had Rob on the podcast, the owner of three up, and he talked about it too. The felt embroidered packaging that it comes in, the dozen balls, makes for a really cool presentation for a gift. And because it's something that maybe you haven't seen before, they're kind of a new company. It's one of those things that it has that cool feel to it. I mean, it's a great thing, and the price range is about $39.99 for a dozen. And actually, if you're a Golficity Premium member, we worked out an exclusive deal with them where you can get 15% off your order. So I know a lot of you guys who are listening are already Golficity Premium members. If you are, just go to the Golficity Premium member resource page and you'll see an exclusive coupon code there. It's an unpublished deal, and we were able to work that out with Rob. Rob is a great guy. He's a big fan of Golficity. We're a big fan of theirs. But anyway, we specifically included this because we love the packaging. We love the presentation of it. We also talked about a couple different, you know, golf nets and some apparel that's on the list. I encourage you to check that out. The other thing that I really liked is the idea of just buying a round. You know, who doesn't like that? I mean, if you're a golfer. And what I really like about this, and I know, Mike, you even do this, you usually play on Father's Day. You play a round with your father and your brothers, right? Don't you do that?
Right. Every year we head up to Saratoga National up in Saratoga Springs, New York, and do it. And, you know, it's a great day out. I mean, buying a round, it's a great gift because it accomplishes a bunch of things. You know, you get to spend the day with the father or someone else, you know, a sibling who's a father, and it's perfect, you know. And you can even pick up some of these smaller ticket items, like a couple of balls, and give them out as some side gifts. I actually did that last year. I came up with some gear for everyone in the foursome, and they all really appreciated it.
Yeah. See, it's an excellent idea.
But
did you have something else?
No. I was just saying, my favorite thing on this list is that Hopkins golf wedge. And you know, I love the fact that you can personalize a club nowadays, Frank. I don't know if you guys out there know this, but you can get custom-built clubs, and you can have certain things embroidered on them. I'm sorry, not embroidered, engraved. What am I talking about? Engraved in them, maybe a special message to dad, or maybe his favorite saying, or his favorite sports team, or maybe, you know, his best score, something. And that's a really unique gift that you don't see that too often, Frank. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone give that as a gift.
No, actually, it just crossed my mind when we did the review for it, where we actually had one where you had it engraved with Team Golficity. And first of all, I want to say that it's not gimmicky at all. Like these wedges they're awesome, custom made wedges that I don't think you're going to find that type of quality anywhere else, especially for that price. I mean, this is like what the pros are doing. I mean, they're using custom made wedges. You love yours, right, Mike?
I absolutely love it. It's my money shot, my money club. You know, it's the best thing I ever got.
Yeah. So that thing's awesome. But I love this idea of engraving it. I mean, think about it. I mean, maybe, for the, you know, your father or something like that, put a little, you know, engrave some sort of personalized note on his wedge. These things last forever. Every time he pulls it out of his bag, he's going to think about it. It's one of those things. It's like, you know, year after year, they're going to remember it. And it's a great idea. So that's my, you know, I'm right in agreement with you. That's my favorite idea on this list. I love the personalization of it. And you're not going to spend a fortune. I think these wedges, it really is going to depend on the customization, because you can do pretty much anything with them. But you can get them for about like $129. That's hard to beat for a custom club that's, you know, custom engraved and has a special message. That's a perfect Father's Day gift. But the rest of the list, again, I'm going to leave the link to it. You can check them out. We have everything we have for, you know, dads who enjoy tech. We have things like the swing tip that analyzes his swing, and it's connected to the smartphone via Bluetooth. We've got, for the dads who travel a lot, we reviewed a couple different travel golf bags. And again, the range on here, I'm just looking, we have gifts for as low as $16 and going up to like $200 for the really, really great net that we have on there. And we also put links to a couple of our favorite areas to check out that are doing special discounts for Father's Day: Rock Bottom Golf, Golf E-Tail, In the Hole Golf, and personal favorite that we always talk about is Divot.com. These are all the places that Mike and I go regularly to try to grab our own deals and discounts. So anyway, we wanted to mention that, give you guys a couple of weeks heads up, because if you're like me, I tend to wait a little too long, and I tend to pay. I'm that guy who's always paying for next day air shipping because I forgot that, you know, some event is coming up, and I end up spending more than it's worth because I have to ship it in next day air. You know, I'm a notorious Amazon Prime guy for this exact reason. Right. So give you a heads up, especially if you're going to go with the engraved Hopkins wedge, make sure you order that as soon as possible, because that does take time. They have to manufacture it. So if you have any ideas of your own, post in the comments, tweet us, let us know. You can also get in touch with us, as always, by emailing us at podcast@golfficity.com. Some of the feedback that's been coming in there has been really awesome. People have been pointing us out to things, you know, pointing out things to us that we hadn't even thought of. I had an email come in the other day from somebody who was mentioning about different types of stat trackers, because I was mentioning that I was putting together that Excel spreadsheet. You know, these are things that we haven't seen before, so we love the suggestions. And what we do is we turn around and we add them onto the site so that we can kind of share all those ideas. It's like kind of crowdsourcing our ideas here and finding the best one. So keep those coming. We love hearing about them. You can also connect with us, as always, on Facebook, Google+, or even on Pinterest, you know, if you're on there. So there's a lot of ways to get in hold of us. Mike, did you have anything else?
No, I'm having a little bit of an issue, and I hope we talk about this on a future podcast, and I'm going to just throw this out there, and I kind of want the fans out there to respond to this via email, podcast@golficity.com, or tweet us. But I'm really struggling with, I'm hitting all my clubs too far. You don't hear this too often, but yesterday's round, 6 shots, as soon as they left the club, immediately I'm like, oh, that's perfect. Be the right, you know, distance, be good, be there. 10 yards over the green. Next shot, be over the green. I have no idea I'm hitting 60 degree wedges, 95 to 100 yards. And I've this all happened, Frank, recently when I slowed down my tempo. Go figure. I slow down my speed and the ball is going further. Now I feel like I need to go to the range every day this week and hit these clubs and try to recalculate my game. But that's what I'm struggling with. So that's what I'm going to be working on for the next couple weeks.
It's amazingly counterintuitive, isn't it?
Yeah.
You slow down your swing and you hit the ball further.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
I haven't played with you in a couple weeks, but my guess is going to be that you're just making more solid contact.
That's it.
You know, if you slow down, your timing is a little bit better. You're probably compressing the ball better, mm-hmm. and you're getting a better ball flight out of it. And again, it's one of those things that, and the worst part is, I know, like, if you're like me, I do the same thing. You start making that better contact, so you start swinging a little faster, trying to get a little bit more, and a little faster, trying to get a little bit more, and then all of a sudden you lose all
it's
the distance.
All gone,
and
it's
that's why we love this game, though, because it keeps us on our toes and keeps us thinking.
That's right.
But so if you have any suggestions for Mike, definitely email us, podcast@golfissy.com, and we'll check in. I know you got a couple rounds you got scheduled between now and the next show, so we'll see how that's going.
Definitely.
All right, great. So we want to thank everybody again for listening. Remember to leave us those reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We love reading those, and we will be back again next week. We've got a great interview coming your way, and then a couple lined up this summer with a couple different authors and some other people who have great, interesting takes that we want to share, along with more instructional podcasts like we have today. So make sure you check that out. And as always, visit us on the web at golfissy.com for tons and tons more content like this. And there you can listen to all the back episodes of the Golf Podcast. So make sure you check that out, and we will see you all again next week.